Phil Vine, a very good morning to you.
And to you, Catherine.
The Lost Pianos of Siberia is an absolutely captivating title. The book is by Sophie Roberts.
It is a really evocative title, isn't it? And I'm happy to say that the book doesn't disappoint us. It's this amazing tour de force through Russian and particularly Siberian history. And it's told through the country's relationship with its pianos. Yes, its pianos. I don't know about you, I've noticed there's this trend in contemporary history telling or teaching where the life stories of certain objects are used to illustrate and unpack periods of history to which they belong. There's something the BBC does around the world in 100 objects, that sort of thing. So rather than the historical study being some crusty recitation of dates and names of kings and queens, there's something far more tangible to hold on to and to visualise. So in this case, it's pianos. Unlikely, but it really works. So Sophie Roberts has managed to do that with her search for abandoned pianos in Siberia. These heavy wooden encumbrances that have been transported on sleds across frozen lakes, their owners may be fleeing vengeful czars or revolutions, eventually settling in the most far-flung corners of this harsh and beautiful part of the world. And the pianos are bringing this kind of unlikely and cumbersome art and beauty with them. It really does touch your soul, this one. So Roberts is a British writer who trained in journalism at Columbia, and her passion here is it's purely academic. She doesn't even play the piano. So her pursuit for these pianos is motivated by trying to find an instrument for a friend in Mongolia, a gifted player who wants a certain type of piano, an old piano with a certain resonance. And so she sets out on behalf of her friend to basically scour the entire region of Siberia, which is massive. It really is massive if you look at it on a map, looking for just the right piano. And her shopping list is very wide, from magnificent grand pianos, either produced or imported, because they made some there as well in Russia during the times of Catherine the Great, right through to these humble Soviet-made uprights. And Roberts is a really honest detective in this work. She seeks cooperation about the pianos because, you know, she rocks up into these remote villages where she hears tell of this piano in this particular house or this particular hall that's been abandoned, and it's got this amazing backstory to do with the Romanovs or whatever. And she tracks it down, she gets there, and then she asks all the hard questions. And if those stories don't add up, although she's the only one who would know that, and if the stories were true, they would really add to her book, she just walks away and leaves it. And you've got to admire her for that. She's totally obsessional, but in all the good ways. And she looks for these pianos that have been brought east from the likes of Moscow and St. Petersburg by the governors of Siberia, or adventurers, or exiles, because there's an awful lot of exiles in Siberia, as we know.
It's quite extraordinary, and what a wonderful instrument through which to tell the story. Otherwise, you're sometimes left with this kind of dry series of events or people in history, aren't you? But she's found a wonderful vehicle to do that. It's also quite extensively illustrated. That's another part of her research. It's an extraordinary number of illustrations and images.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, one of the more compelling ones on page 137, if you've got it in front of you, flick through to that. So there's anecdotes, there's lots of anecdotes about the exile communities of Siberia, because as I was saying, they are made up of these exiled communities from Russia. And this, one of the most starkly shocking anecdotes is the plight of the wheelbarrow men. So not only did the Soviets send people to the gulags there. I was surprised to learn, because I'm not a student of history, that the Tsarists before them exiled up to 1 million people between 1801 and 1917, the sort of people that were challenging the strict rule of the Tsars, including the Decembrists. They were an uprising of Polish intelligentsia. They were sent to Siberia, some with their tongues removed or their noses split. Anyway, the wheelbarrow men were part of one of these prison camps from the Tsarist times, and they were recidivist offenders. And their punishment was more than just being in the camp. They were chained to wheelbarrows by their hands and their feet for their entire sentence. They were there in the cold, in the freezing cold, attached all of this time, 20, 30 years, to a wheelbarrow. They even slept with the barrows in these specially adopted bunks. Now, this is nothing about pianos, right? Mm. This is nothing about pianos, but her anecdotes just build up this amazing, lovely pastiche where you get to really engage with history at a great level, because I don't really like history that much, but it really drew me in.
Also, her writing style, you can see the skills of the novelist there. We're not talking long, complex, footnoted sentences.
We're talking
actual storytelling.
And that's a gift. I'll read from just from page two. There is no dramatic curtain raiser to the edge of Siberia, no meaningful brink to a specific place, just thick weather hanging over an abstract idea. That gives you some of an insight into her writing style, which is great. And there's, you know, there's the everyday oppressiveness of being there. So she's writing of the past, but she's also writing of her experiences of being there in the present day. Mangy dogs with ribby coats, parking lots where not even weeds put out any shoots, and the hotel elevator, where the air seems so close to share, too close to share with a troop of Russian weightlifters. All of it, you know, it conjures up these lovely images of her experience.
An opus magnus, really, isn't it, in many ways?
It is. I mean, she's become obsessed, but she's shared that obsession in such a wonderful way that you just... Also, she's really at pains to point out that the horrors and the vicissitudes of the place and the climate, which have been built up in the popular imagination. You talk about being sent to Siberia, you know, and you think of the hideous weather and you think of the gulags and you think of all of those bad things. She really wants to tilt the kind of the balance on that a little bit and express the kindness and the beauty that she came across. And she has this total love with the region. You know, and as a reader, that love certainly, it rubs off, you know? It's really good.
Sounds like you thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Phil. Really appreciate it. Phil Vine has reviewed The Lost Pianos of Siberia by Sophie Roberts, published by Penguin Random House. $38 the price. It is a paperback, but there are a lot of black and white illustrations, mainly photographs, but also some sketches and maps. And Phil is highly recommending this book. There's also maps, of course, which I know you'll appreciate reading a book of this kind.